Well, since y'all are begging on Facebook for some love, I just thought I'd call and give you some love. So, yeah, here you go. Love ya. Bye.
It's The Crossover, Episode 8. Took you long enough.
San Diego Freeway units. We have an 1180 involving a gas tanker. Southbound San Diego Freeway at Sunset. All responding units identified.
LA 7 Mary 3 and 4 responding.
10-4, 7 Mary 3.
This is VIP. Rampart, we have lost the victim's pulse. Beginning CPR.
This thing on? Hello?
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 Oh, that's a nice little break. I am refreshed.
You and me both.
Mr. Motorcop, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. And yourself?
Very well. You know, the show went on a hiatus there for a little while for the holidays, and I am reminded every day why I don't usually do a podcast.
Which would be?
The schedules of a fireman and a policeman, they never line up. And your schedule just changed.
Yes, it did.
So that the old schedule went right out the window, but then again, we were so stuck to it anyway. Plus, you've got exciting new news in your family.
Indeed. We are expecting a little Motor Cop spawn number 3 come late August.
That is very exciting. And Mrs. MC, a trooper, I think everybody knows, not a state trooper, but trooper in the other sense, very tired.
Very, very tired. Yes, I have been working all day and then coming home and putting on Mr. Mom pants so she can go crash out because she is growing a human, and having two already born humans running around the house is exhausting.
Making people is a tough business, but I think you and I can agree that we're lucky enough that we married women who can make good people.
I thank God every day for Y chromosomes, my friend.
I just need to ask you, the mommy pants that you put on, are they flowery and soft?
I do believe I said Mr. Mom pants, so they are soft yet utilitarian.
And I'm sure they say go Irish on
the
side.
Damn right. You are damn right they do.
So now we're coming off hiatus, ton of stuff in the news, both fire and police and EMS. Public safety just in general has been in the news because of what happened in Tucson. Don't want to get into the politics of it. That's not what we're here to talk about. You and I, our last show was the most amazing show we've ever had. We talked about scene safety and why PD never seems to want to come and clear a scene, and why fire always wants PD to go in and clear stuff that doesn't need to be cleared. I think you can agree it was our best show.
Undoubtedly. I would say that if you have never listened to us before, that you don't go back and listen to old shows, because this truly was the pinnacle. Matter of fact, if you could listen to that show, I would stop listening to this show right now and go listen to that show again.
And I would love it if our fans could do that, but unfortunately, that show did not record. And the promised knockdown, drag-out Christmas gift to our listeners, where we would throw down on scene safety, actually turned into Motor Cop and I agreeing on just about every point, which kind of surprised me.
I am a surprising individual. You should know that by now.
You are. Now, I want to get back to Tucson a little bit, because this also came up when I was at work the other day and responded to a shooting. Does law enforcement have a different definition for scene safety versus scene secure? Like, the scene is safe, the scene is secure. Do you guys have a difference in terminology?
I think it's more along the lines of common sense. Safe to me means all the bad guys are either in custody, in bags, or we can confirm that they are absolutely, without a doubt, no longer anywhere near where we are. Secure means that I'm probably not going to get shot in the next few seconds, so I can do whatever job I need to do and get back out of here. That's kind of the difference that I see between being absolutely safe and secure. I never truly feel safe unless I'm at home or at the PD.
That's the exact opposite for me. I imagine safe as the shooting has stopped, and secure is, oh, look, they have him in handcuffs. I think of those words the other way around. That's interesting.
It's just a different way of looking. I mean, like I said, it could be a semantic kind of thing. I think it's just your perspective. But I do think it's important that our definitions are coinciding. Should we be working together, I think it's important that we think they mean the same thing.
And that's probably something that we can talk about when we see each other on the street corner. When I'm going to get ice cream and you're at the donut shop, maybe we could just wander over and, hey, guys, you know, I had a question for you. I was listening to this really great podcast the other night, and they talked about the difference between scene safety and scene secure. You know, what are your thoughts on it? I don't think we need to get chief officers and sergeants and captains involved in this, do you?
Oh, anytime you involve, you know, admin or brass, it just goes right downhill.
Then there's going to be a memo. Then there's going to be a committee. And then 4 years from now, they'll come out with something that makes absolutely no sense. So this really is up to us on the floor, guys, to talk to our fellow responders. Now, this call I had the other day was for a reported shooting. We got on scene. We were told by radio that PD is on scene and the scene is safe. To, you know, for me, that means the shooting is stopped. Well, I pull up on scene and there's one police officer on a bike. Now, granted, it was a motor officer.
Thank you.
There's one police officer on a bike and he's tending to the victim. His attention is not on the scene law enforcement type stuff. So that immediately had my little ears up and I was sniffing the air. If you can imagine one of those meerkats looking around, that was me.
That's exactly what I was picturing with a little helmet on.
Not the helmet. No, I did have my please don't shoot me jacket on, though.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, it says paramedic on it. Yeah. So that really got me thinking is, you know, this officer might have called and said the scene is safe, you know, send in the paramedics. But that, you know, it's just something I think we really need to talk about. First responder to first responder is different terminology and what do these things mean? And, you know, the radio traffic hasn't come out, but I wonder – from Tucson, you know, was law enforcement first in? They did have an interview with the paramedics that responded first and got in there and did some patient care. But it's going to take a long time to find out which agency told the other, you know, get in here, let's get going. Obviously a chaotic scene. Is that something, let me put it to you, if you were responding to that scene in Tucson and you didn't know that there was just one shooter, would that become what we've been hearing in the public safety media as this active shooter scenario?
It's funny you bring that up. I've only seen some snippets of interviews because of all the politics involved in it. I get real tired of that real quick. So I have not paid a whole lot of attention to it, but I did see apparently one of the guys that helped subdue the gunman actually had a gun in his car, went back to his car, got his gun, and there were two guys actually fighting over it was the gunman and another gentleman fighting over the gunman's gun. The bystander went and got his gun and held them both at gunpoint until police arrived because he didn't know who the bad guy was. And he said, you know, thinking about it, looking back, it would have been real easy for law enforcement or somebody else in the crowd. Apparently, Tucson is still the Wild West, according to this dude. But anybody in the crowd could have pictured him as the gunman and thrown a shot at him. So, I mean, there's, you know, like I said, we're not going to get into the gun control and the whose fault it was and all that kind of good stuff. But it's an interesting point. If I roll up and I've got two guys on the ground and there's a gun between them, there's a guy pointing a gun, everybody's getting laid down, everybody's getting handcuffed until we can sort out who's who. If there are no shots actually being fired and there's a lot of witnesses all pointing at one person, you should be able to relatively quickly, again, Monday morning quarterbacking.
Of course.
You should relatively quickly be able to ascertain who is the responsible party. And there were a ton of people there, and I'm sure that most of them are pointing at one guy and saying there's only one shooter, there's only one shooter. But again, that's nothing but conjecture and experience, but that's what I imagine in my head.
And now if we can just take the snippets of the news that we've seen, you've got multiple victims down, you've got people screaming, you're in a parking lot of a grocery store, and if we keep the scenario going that you've put up for us, that you've got two people fighting over a weapon, you've got a third with a weapon drawn, training down on the two of them, at what point in your actions would you feel comfortable getting on the radio and sending and saying that the scene is, in your definition, secure, send in, you know, the cavalry? At what point would you be comfortable making that radio transmission?
As soon as I have the three people that I know are somehow, you know, involved, be they good Samaritans, bad guys, whatever. But in the scenario that I painted, as soon as I've got those three in custody and I've talked to a handful of witnesses and I can mostly piece together that there was one shooter and this is him, I would feel comfortable enough calling you in to do what you have to do. And that doesn't mean that we're still going to stop, you know, looking for bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, a couple of minutes, maybe anybody worth their salt should be able to at least minimally piece together who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. If there's any questions, they go in cuffs and we go from there. But, you know, you've got a massive amount of injured people. You've got to start triaging them and making sure they get the medical attention they need. So, you know, it's kind of a balance between, okay, we have dangerous jobs. These people are not laying here dying. So let's get it done as quickly as possible. You know, like I said, couple of minutes is my guess.
And it's going to be difficult for the first responders, the engine company and the ambulance that are coming in on this thing first, you know, to be a block away. And while law enforcement is making that initial determination of, do we have the shooter? Do we have the shooters, plural? Is the scene safe enough to get somebody with no training in here? There's a very good possibility that we could have bystanders or walking wounded approaching us on foot, banging on the side of the ambulance. Hurry, hurry, come in. My wife's been shot. Hurry, hurry, come in, come in. And we need to really just cool our heels, fire and EMS guys, and let PD get in there, let law enforcement get in there and do their job. You know, you're being lied to when you're told seconds count. Seconds don't count. All right. Safety counts. If you get in there too soon and you muck up a response, if you drive over evidence, if you ruin things, you're going to make it worse down the line. And, you know, I'm glad that Motor Cop, that you said that it's going to take a couple minutes to figure that out. And those can be a long couple of minutes, I imagine, especially for the guy that's in there doing the work.
Not to mention for the people that are in pain, traumatized, in shock, you know, and those could be the people that didn't get shot, you know, that truly are not in any immediate physical danger. Again, once the scene is safe, using my little hand quotes for our viewers at home. I agree. I don't think seconds count. If you rush to judgment and get the wrong person, or, you know, don't do enough of a scan of the crowd and you miss somebody else, or let's paint a different picture. Let's paint a terrorist attack where it's designed to bring in first responders and then they initiate a second attack with other explosive devices or what have you. I mean, these are things that we all have to be very cognizant of and wary of, because if I get hurt or you get hurt, who's going to help them and then us when all of us are sidelined?
Yeah, and you bring up a great point. You know, everybody wants to rush in and be the hero, unfortunately, in our line of work. You know, there's a lot of adrenaline junkies out there. They think that if they can just swoop in and grab somebody and get the heck out of there, they'll be fine. But keep in mind, guys, when we go in there and get hurt, it's not just us that gets hurt. But now our brothers and sisters are going to come in behind us and they're not going to be able to triage properly. If we go in and get hurt, our brothers and sisters will treat us first. They will show us bias. And those original patients you were trying to help will be hurt because of it. So you're actually doing double harm to both yourself and your original patient. You're better off waiting. Nobody's going to yell at you except for certain politicians yelling at ambulance companies. I won't say any names, AMR. But there were some paramedics a few months ago that followed their protocols, stayed back from a dangerous scene, and politicians just, you know, ripped them up one side and down the other for not putting their lives on the line. Well, we make calculated risks. I've said it my entire career. I think I learned it from my dad. Maybe you heard it too. We make a calculated risk. If it's for life, if it's going to make a difference, that's different than, hey, look over there. You know, and taking those extra moments, those extra minutes to let someone who's trained make those decisions, like the law enforcement officer, can make our job easier when we roll in and start doing our triage. So I'm really glad you said that it's going to take a couple of minutes. I like that.
And that's assuming everybody's on their A game and not, you know, a rookie or somebody who's easily freaked out at those kinds of scenes. I've never been to a scene that we've seen it in Tucson. I've never had that experience.
Nor have I.
So it's by talking about them, though, and putting yourself in that mindset as I'm, you know, driving down 123, you know, or Main Street or whatever, and I roll by the Safeway and I think to myself, okay, what would I do if some gunman walked out of the bagel shop across the street and just started cranking off rounds? What am I going to do? What's my response going to be? It's that kind of putting yourself in that mental state prepares you for an eventuality because it could easily happen tomorrow when I go to work, tomorrow when you go to work. You never know. So you have to constantly be giving yourself scenarios. What would I do if it, you know, when you see a police officer driving around and he looks like he's just, you know, bebopping around, hey, maybe he is, maybe he's not. Maybe he's thinking about, okay, what am I going to do if a semi truck comes off the freeway off ramp and blows up? What's my response going to be? You never know.
Yeah. And it's the same when fire goes around the neighborhood. You know, you think we're just cruising, looking at the ladies jogging. We're not. We're pulling up.
I don't believe that. Come on.
We're pulling up to a building and saying, "All right, guys, smoke from the second floor." You know, Bravo side. What's our attack line? What ladders are we going to throw? What resources do we need? And yeah, it's a little 10-minute discussion. But you know what? The next time we get a house with fire on the second floor on the Bravo side, we've already planned for it. And exactly like you're saying, we need to be proactive in the community. If you find yourself sitting at the PD. Or on a street corner, at the ambulance station or in the firehouse, bored, get in the rig, get out in your first due area, and think about stuff that's going on. Pull something out of the headlines, you know, have a little law and order session, rip from the headlines, get out there and practice. It doesn't need to be a big battalion drill. It doesn't need to be with your entire platoon. Just get out there with the people you work with or by yourself and do some learning. We need to learn from this stuff. That's really the only positive that can come from it.
I completely agree, and I like the fact that you said do some learning.
Learning, yes. Well, reading, writing, arithmetic.
Very true.
You know, that's what my entire foundation is built on, is just adding and removing letters. You know, you watch enough Firefly, you start to talk like that.
That very true.
And then your kids talk like that.
I'm waiting for us to break out into random Chinese.
Yeah, well, you know what? When your four-year-old says rutten, you got to start watch what you're saying. And those of you listening, if you don't watch Firefly,
what is wrong with you?
You're missing out.
Yeah. Why are you stop listening? Push pause, go to Netflix and handle some business.
Yeah. Netflix. You can also watch it on Hulu. They got five episodes rotating.
There you go.
Suddenly I'm getting deja vu. I think we mentioned Firefly every episode. Speaking of things we mention almost every episode, the phone number for the show, MotorCop from MotorCopBlog.com, you went through the effort of setting up a listener question hotline for our show.
I'm a giver.
You are a giver. Now, let's see if the host of the show can remember the number. All right? And if I get it wrong, correct me. And 10 demerits. 313-461.
Yeah.
10 demerits.
Come on. 451. It's 451.
451.
Yes.
313-451-HMMC. That's our 24-hour voicemail line where you can call in with your questions about the show. I think it's safe to say, MC, that the response that we got to this phone line being open completely blew me away.
As I was, I was so underwhelmed, I had to crawl up to be underwhelmed.
You did. So we have how many questions do we have this week?
Two.
Two. We have two questions.
Well, actually, we have a question and a comment.
A question and a comment. Is there any reason for the distinction between the and the a there?
No.
A no?
No.
Okay.
I do have a trivia question for you, however.
Oh, trivia. I love trivia. Do I have trivia music? Can I edit in some trivia music? Hold on a second. Me in the future. Trivia music, please. Thank you. Okay, go with your trivia.
And the trivia is obviously the last four digits of our phone number, HMMC. Folks should be able to figure out, you know, subtle nuances of what that is. Mm-hmm. The area code means nothing. But 451. Can anybody tell me what 451 means? I want people to call in and tell me what 451 means.
Do you mean like in a police code?
I'm not going to give you anything other than that. Maybe it's some
or
sort of
vehicle code.
Perhaps it's some kind of crazy missing letter code from Nazi Germany.
Is this some sort of Jeopardy musical composer reference?
It could very well be. Maybe it Wagner could be the answer. Maybe it was I'm inspired by Wagner's 451st musical thingy. Mm-hmm.
Well, when you translate it from the original Greek.
Yeah. Although I'm pretty sure he was German.
We actually, looking through the voicemail here, we actually have a legitimate question that I think I would like to pose to us. It comes in from Kirk. Let's listen to Kirk's question from the voicemail line here.
Let's hear it, Kirk.
Hey, Happy and Motor Cop. This is Kirk Chambers, and I got a question for you guys. You guys probably can answer or discuss. It is, should paramedics be allowed to carry handcuff keys? Why or why not? That'd be great. Thanks a lot.
Now, Motor Cop, I'm going to throw this to you first. I already know where I stand on this. Do you think paramedics should have handcuff keys?
My initial reaction is going to be negative, but I have a follow-up question perhaps for you, Mr. Happy Medic. What kind of security background or background checks do paramedics go through?
In the state of California, you have to have a fingerprint scan to see if you have been convicted of a felony.
And that's it?
That's it.
I stand by my negative then. I would be uncomfortable with it simply because just having a fingerprint scan doesn't tell me enough. When police officers go through background checks, they go back and talk to high school teachers, elementary school, neighbors from, you know, every house that you've ever lived in. It's a fairly lengthy, drawn out experience, and I have, you're not going to believe this, I have seen some real schmuck police officers.
Now, real quick, MC, let me stop you there. Now, we're just talking about the key for the handcuffs. We're not talking about handcuffs.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow.
What I'm saying is that I don't know that medics would be vetted far enough for me to be comfortable with them transporting somebody that I have handcuffed to their gurney or what have you. If there were more stringent background checks, I would be open for discussion on that. The other issue would be a liability thing. I don't know. Obviously, their main concern is medical issues, not necessarily their own safety. If they've got some crazed serial killer, but they need to get that IV in or something, oh, he's going to be just fine. Maybe they uncover him. I don't know, but I wouldn't want to take that risk if I was them. That's just my opinion.
I look at it as a 100% safety issue. Paramedics should not be carrying handcuff keys. A handcuff key gives you the false sense of security that you can remove the handcuffs if you have to. That's what police officers are for. If you have a person in your ambulance and they are handcuffed, hands behind the back, if they are handcuffed to the gurney just so they can't get away, hopefully you have a gurney that's put together better than some of the ones I used to work with. in some of my old jobs where, you know, a quick pull and somebody could get away. That person is being restrained not just so that they can't get away, but it's a safety issue. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
So why on earth would I want to give someone with absolutely no self-defense training the ability to release that safety mechanism? That's what the police officer coming with you to the hospital is for. Now, if they don't want to come with you, you do not take the patient that's in handcuffs. Let me say that again. If they do not come with you in the ambulance, this is not I'll follow you and watch through the windows. This is they will sit on the bench seat or in the captain's chair, and they will be there to react if this patient becomes violent, or if because of your patient care they do need to be unrestrained. That police officer knows other ways to restrain that person. More importantly, they know how to secure that person while they're being restrained in a different manner. There is a reason that paramedics carry soft restraints and that we are experts in applying them. With help, we can get people secured and safe pretty quickly with those soft restraints. Those are not handcuffs. You can untie a soft restraint. You can cut it if things go wrong. But those handcuffs need to stay in the purview of law enforcement. I am 100% in agreement with you, maybe for different reasons. But yeah. You know, giving paramedics handcuff keys, you know, maybe you think it looks cool hanging off your belt, whatever. Get a toy pair and hang a toy key on there.
But or some fuzzy ones.
Yeah.
We'll give you some fuzzy cuffs. How's that?
Again, maybe you're buying into this whole seconds count. And if I have the key, I can get him out of the handcuffs quicker than the cop can. No, you can't.
It's funny you bring that up. I was watching, I'm going to dovetail into a little something different here as well. I was watching Southland last night, an excellent, excellent
it's a good show.
Cop show. But one of the characters, it was actually last week's show, we DVR'd it. One of the characters chases this guy down, tackles him, and gets this dude cuffed in like 3 seconds, no joke. And like I posted last night, okay, it's a cop drama. You know, they got to make it sexy for TV and all that. There is no way in hell that – after a running that far that fast and scuffling around on the ground, are you going to even be able to get your cuffs out while the guy is being combative by yourself? So that was one of my little nitpicky things. I actually looked over at the wife. I'm like, yeah, that'll never happen. like you mentioned, we have training. Handcuffing people is almost never easy. They're not soft restraints. They're not malleable. They're hard metal, and you got to get them on just right. And that's assuming they're not easy when somebody's being cooperative. I mean, I can cuff somebody pretty quickly if they just put your hands behind your back,
okay,
and click, no big deal. But if they're being combative in the back of an ambulance, I defy unless I outweigh the guy by 200 pounds and he's 4'7" and I'm 6'5". Yeah, okay, I'll just sit on him and cuff him. That's no big deal. But in a confined space, like the back of an ambulance, and a medic uncuffs somebody for whatever reason, and he gets combative, and for whatever reason there's not a cop in there, good luck getting those back on with no training.
Yeah, let me just say one other thing to the EMTs and paramedics out there who are probably shaking their heads saying, oh, Justin, you don't understand. You've been in the big city too long. If you think it's okay with no training for you to carry a handcuff key, I want you to give your IV kit to the next cop you bump into and just tell him to go nuts.
Oh, yay.
All right. Because he will stick needles in your patients. He might even get a flash and be able to get a line in. But you know it's not going to be done properly because he does not have the proper training. He's seen you do it a ton of times. He's seen it on TV. But he's not going to be able to do it properly. So if you're not willing to give the cop your IV kit, you shouldn't expect the cops to give you a handcuff key. And if you're carrying one, it's a false sense of security. You're fooling yourself. Take it off. Get rid of it.
Are you saying that TV is nothing like real life? Is that what I just heard?
TV is exactly like real life.
Oh, thank
I don't know what you're talking about.
Phew. Yeah. You're going to completely throw it. You'll talk about paradigm shift, my friend.
Yeah, well, you know, if TV was actually reality. Wait a minute.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
So well, let's, I figured, let's bring it back to Southland for a minute. I've been contacted by the kind folks at TNT's publishing or promotions department. And
TNT. We know drama. Real quick, great network, by the way. They got The Closer. I love me some Closer.
I have not seen The Closer. I have to be very selective with my TV addictions, my friend.
If you were in front of me, I would flick you in your forehead. You need to watch The Closer.
You know, what my problem with that show is, if we're going to get on a little sidebar here, I don't like her accent. I don't buy it.
You don't have to buy it. You have to enjoy it.
It feels forced to me.
Sorry. TNT, you know, great network. Southland.
Yes, Southland. I am going to be in the coming within the next week or two. I am going to be giving away a couple. It looks like at least one, certainly, possibly two, complete first season DVDs of Southland. Now I'm trying to formulate a plan as to if we'll just do a random number generator for comments on a post I do about Southland, or if we'll do some kind of a trivia thing, or what. But I'm gonna work something out. And in the next week or two, MotorCopBlog.com is going to be giving away a couple of sets of the first complete season of Southland.
That is very exciting.
Indeed.
And if there were more Fire and EMS shows on TV, perhaps I could have the same chances of giving away such swag. Speaking of swag.
Well, hang on. What we should do is hop into our Wayback Machine when Third Watch was on, because truly, best of both worlds for us.
It was, until it got completely retarded. And I use retarded, the word retarded, with all due respect to those with learning disabilities. However, the show got retarded.
I think I just heard somebody hang up and nobody calls.
It made very little sense. It started to wet itself on occasion. But it was still fun to watch.
Absolutely.
Third Watch. That was a good show. Third Watch
was a
good show.
Did it make you sad?
Well, when it first started, I just flashed back, you know, because we all remember that Third Watch was one of the big shows 10 years ago, right before 9/11.
And
everybody was wondering, how are they going to handle that? And the show was kind of wavering right before that, I remember. And then after 9/11, they took a big break and then came back with kind of the real emotional shows, and it was great. That was part of my healing process, and I didn't even have to go through that much. But then after that, it just kind of started flapping its wings a little too hard, as it were.
Indeed.
No, that was a good show. Now, Schwag, there's been rumors on the interwebs machine about MotorCopBlog.com t-shirts, keychains, mugs.
And Falderall.
Falderall?
Yeah, Falderall. Don't get me started on the Falderall.
I'm in the market for some Falderall.
Who isn't these days? It's a buyer's market for Falderall.
Was that you shaking your Falderall?
No, that was my dog shaking her Falderall.
Nice. Isn't that a Beyonce song?
It should be.
It should be.
I defy her to spell Falderall.
If your dog spells Falderall, I will give you a first season DVD set of Southland.
How did you know my dog's name was Beyonce? That's bizarre.
It is. Now, speaking of calling dogs Beyonce and expecting them to shake Falderall, we are giving up on the call-in line. And we are renaming it.
Okay.
It is no longer the call-in line for the crossover show.
Uh-oh. This sounds important.
It is now the world's first public safety drunk dial line.
Holy cow.
You're out with your buddies from work. You've had a long day. You've had a few too many. You're about to get in the car with your designated driver and head home. Pull out your phone, 313-451-HMMC. If you're a fireman or a paramedic or EMT, tell Motor Cop what you think of him. If you happen to be in law enforcement, go ahead. Let me have it. Let us know what you think about your service in general. Don't leave your name, and we won't.
Oh, no. Leave your name. Don't be a puss. Leave your name.
You want him to – really?
Oh, absolutely. I'm always preaching about responsibility. You got something to say, you gotta take it by the horns, you know what I mean?
This from a guy who embraces anonymity. Exactly. I love it. And your name, sir?
Suck it.
I'm not calling the line, jackhat.
I get to make the rules, that's all.
Yeah. See this guy pointing at this guy makes the rules. Yeah. So, so you guys out there, you know, you don't want to call us with your questions. That's fine. You do want to call us with your questions. That's great. You want to call us when you're wasted. That's even better.
That's good TV. Wait, so now we need a TV show. That's good radio. That's good podcast.
That's good podcast.
That is good podcast.
Absolutely. Now, in our missing show, episode 7.5, we talked a little bit about social media and the fact that our friend the Blog Stalker is slowly dipping his toes into the Facebook.
He is. And, you know, I can actually picture him putting his big old foot right in the water and pulling it back out and getting all chilly.
Exactly, because he set it up for Gazda Software. The folks that do a lot of programming help at happymedic.com. He also does the BlackBerry shift calendars. You can go to gazdasoftware.com, G-A-S-D-A. Yes, that's a shameless plug. He's also the one that that helps me get all those Chronicles of EMS stickers made up. He's an old family friend. His dad and his uncle worked with my dad at the Orange County Fire Department many moons ago. And we've told the story before that he was the one that figured out where you work and that you're not far from him and that he's not far from me. And he is big into programming, computers, the internet. He knows a lot, not on Facebook. And we don't remind him of that at all.
No, not nearly often enough, at least.
No. And he is the third party in our Brewers Club.
He is one hell of a little beer maker.
That beer was delicious.
Yes, it was.
Yes. Now, you've got a batch brewing right now in your closet?
It is in my closet as we speak. I go smell it every night.
Doesn't it smell good?
Oh, my God, yeah. I can't believe I can crack it open and drank it all already.
Wow, that was fast. You're like the old lady that eats the bread dough, and then it starts growing.
No, that'd be weird.
Yeah, the bread part or the old lady part?
Yes.
Now, we asked folks on our last show to name your beer.
We did.
And
they don't know that because they didn't get to hear the show.
No, the show before that. Our last show that I actually
recorded. Oh, the one we actually recorded.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, I apologize.
We asked folks to come up with a name for it. There were a lot of great suggestions. You cooked the beer. The beer is fermenting. You're going to have a name for the beer by our next show because we're bottling it next Friday.
Yes, we are.
What are you going to call your beer?
We're putting the pressure on. Geez, you know, here's my suggestion. I think what we should do is blast the ether with some asking for some help. It's a Dunkelweizen, which is a dark wheat beer. So we got to work in the concept of the beer plus the fact that a cop's making it. And I want to leave it up to the listeners/readers to come up with a good name.
I'm glad you said readers.
Do people actually read us, or do they just listen to us yammer on about Falderall?
I have to assume they read us because I think the blogs are getting way more attention than the podcast. But you know what? It's too much fun.
It is fun.
It's way too much fun.
Imagine doing this while we're drinking the Dunkelweizen.
I can't wait.
Oh, man.
I have two reasons for wanting your beer to be done. Number one, so I can drink it. And number two, so I can cook mine.
Indeed.
Yes, I'm starting up my second batch as soon as possible. Well, Mr. Motorcop from MotorcopBlog.com and Mr. Expectant Father, when you're not working or attending to the wife or the children or the Falderall shaking Beyonce dog, where can folks find you?
Wow, Falderall shaking. That's I'm going to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and in a cold sweat thinking about that. They can find me on the in the Twitterverse, if you will, at MotorCop1. Also on Facebook, just search for MotorCop. You can Google MotorCop blog or just go straight to MotorCopBlog.com. And speaking of the wife, she just put on Twitter, pickles and OJ, #, I'm pregnant. Awesome.
# ew.
Yeah.
You can also find me, Justin Shore, the Happy Medic, on Twitter, the Happy Medic. You can also follow # COEMS for exciting news about Chronicles of EMS. We're going to see you in Baltimore at the EMS Today conference. March 1st through the 5th, 2nd through the 5th, actually, is when Mr. Thaddeus Setlow and myself will be there. Wednesday night, we're having the big Chronicles VMS first annual pub crawl. We're going to miss you for that, Motor Cop.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Baltimore, though. I'm not going to miss it. No offense, Baltimore folks, but...
No, pretty much the Sheraton, the Convention Center, the Inner Harbor, that's really all we do. I know there's a lot more to Baltimore, but not at night when you've been drinking and from out of town. You could find the blog at happymedic.com. Come on over, have a read, leave a comment. I always appreciate finding out from my readers what's going on around the world in EMS. So until next time, Mr. Motorcop, motorcopblog.com. Be safe, brother. Get some rest. Take care of that wife and family and fault for all shaking dog named Beyonce, and we'll talk to you soon.
We will see you very soon in about a week's time for some beer.
Friday. Uncle White's in.
Uncle White's in.
All right, buddy. Be well.
Take care.
The crossover is for information only and should not be considered established law or policy unless cited. Your hosts are simply tired of talking to us, the wives, so we just let them talk to each other. Win-win. Offer not valid in all territories, board wherever wine is not shipped. If rash develops, please call 911 and ask for Angelo. If desire to approve EMS lasts for more than 4 hours, consult your service manager on how to make it a reality. Please follow all local protocols and guidelines. If you try to defend doing something stupid by citing a guy who uses a cartoon and calls himself happy, perhaps you're in the wrong line of work.
Squad 51 returning to quarters.
Squad 51.